We are starting in the bottom of Yud Zayin with Bet. Alright, we had the, yesterday we were finishing off, the Gemara wants to know, Rav Ashi had a question that someone who takes a Neder Nezirut while he's in a Beit HaKvarot, does he qualify for Giluach or not? Being that we know that he's Enu Mevi Karban, right, that there's no Karban Tumah. Such as if there's no carbon tumah, there's also no giluach, or the two items separate. So we tried to bring different proofs along the way. The last proof we brought was actually the comparison between the zirut and the mitzorah. I think we compared a mitzorah to a nazir, and suggest that a nazir, just like a nazir when he's tamei, the days do not count towards his zirut. So too, by a mitzorah, when he's mukhlat, when he's decided for tumah, those days should not count towards his nazirut. The Gemara tried to create it through a kal v'chomer from nazir. So the Gemara attempted in the first try to bring a kal v'chomer from nazir and say, or almost like a bidding up, ma yimitu manato in olim min aminyan, afim echoto in olim min aminyan. But then the Gemara says, well, there's a difference between tuma and mitzorah. What's the difference between tuma and mitzorah? Let me write, Bimei Tumato, that you're Mevatel the Kodmin. When it comes to a Nazir that's Tamei, not only does it not count towards the days that is Nazirut, it uproots the previous days. The original days get knocked off. Whereas you make Haluto, right, the previous days don't necessarily get knocked off. It's only the new days that we say don't count towards his Nazirut. So therefore, that can't be it. So now the Gemara tried a new approach. So the minyan, so much. My nazir be kever shisaro ra'ulu tiklachat. A nazir in the kever, you know, nazir took a neder nazirut from Beit HaKvarot. That is, sayers ra'ulu tiklachat ein olim lo min aminyan. It still does not count. And here, we don't have the principle of kodmin because he took the neder nazirut in the Beit HaKvarot. If he took the neder nazirut in the Beit HaKvarot, there's nothing. Right to fall away because he never started in his yiruts.
Ra'ulu tiklachat over here means that he's over in Isser, he's Megaleach.
No, so in Roy Litiglachat, the way the, Roy Litiglachat, the way the Rishonim learn Roy Litiglachat over here, if you look in like, is the Tiglachat Tumma, that he is Roy Litiglachat. I mean, at least first, the Havami of the Gemara here is that it's Tiglachat Tumma, that he has to, after, before he starts his Nezirutaro, he has to cut his hair for his Tuma, right? He has to cut his hair. And that would be a proof to one side of Rav Ashi's position. Right? So Re'yu. But the Tachas, Ein Lo Min Yaminyan, and nevertheless, it still does not go away. Yimei Chaluto, She'ein Lo Yilin Tiglachas, but Yimei Chaluto, where he does not have a requirement of cutting his hair for Tuma, meaning that for a Nazir Tuma, Lo Kosh came. She'ein Lo Min Yaminyan, certainly there, it should not count towards his Minyan. So my love, Tiglachas Tuma. That's the Gemara's Havim, meaning that it's a Tiglachas Tumah. What we're talking about here is cutting your hair when you become a tamai. If you look at the last Tosfos, you are the Peshad, it's Vahaki Kamar. The last Tosfos on the Yomodir. My, love the custom, I love the Zarathara. Vahaki Kamar, my Nazir Bekevash, just Arolaru, Yui, Litiglacha, the Seir Shalom, Omelit Kalechi, Ashlim Zirot, the Taro. This is already, I'm sorry, the next stage is Mara, yeah, I don't want to say this. Alright, so now, we'll read that in a second.
I don't understand this last part. I didn't understand it yesterday either.
Neither do I, but it's alright. It's not so simple, because the Gemara is trying to draw a parallel between two issues that are not necessarily parallel, which is that you have a number of possibilities to cut your hair. You have a Nazir Tum'ah that can cut his hair, and you have a Nazir Bit Tahara that can cut his hair. So, and
the end of his full Nazirut.
Then you have a Mitzorah, who has to cut his hair because he's a Mitzorah, separate, plus he has a requirement to cut his hair for the end of his Nazirut, once he completes his Nazirut. So there are a number of hair cuttings that are going on here. Lamar wants to draw a parallel between the two and say, just like, now, by a Mitzorah, right, a Mitzorah has to cut his hair for Tum'ah, by when he's Tamei, when he takes a net in his roots in the Kever, he's going to have to cut his hair, right? So far, what we first have in the Gemara is that means that he'll have to cut it for Nazir Tumah, right? And in olim lo min minyan, it doesn't go for the minyan. You make halutoshen where the tiglachas. That hair does not help him out. Why? Because he's going to have to cut it for mitzora and not for nazir at all. It's going to go towards his mitzora, and it's not even roil in nazirut. Lo koshkein lo min minyan. Certainly, that shouldn't count towards his minyan nazirut because the hair is not designated for the nazirut.
Even ultimately, after he finishes his nazirut, when he goes back, eventually he will have a tiglacha for nazirut, but the hair that's on his head right now is not going to be.
Exactly. So that's the kal v'chomer right now. Now, my lab, so the Gemara is having is this tiglacha's tumah, that is cutting his hair for tumah. If he's cutting his hair for tumah, that is answers Rav Ashi's question about whether a nazir tameh gets a giluach or not. He took his nazir nazirut in a kever. So the Havamina of the Gemara now is that a Nazir that takes his Nedir Nazirut in the Kever will cut his hair litum'ah, and therefore he's Shaya to Nazirut. That hair has some relevance to Nazirut, and yet nevertheless he knocks off, those days don't count towards Nazirut. A Mitzorah, who is cutting his hair, has no relevance to Nazirut, and he's going to cut his hair. Certainly he should not have his days count towards the Nazirut. That's the Havamina of the Gemara. The Gemara says, lo, no, that's not the case. Lo tiglacha titara. We're talking about a tiglacha cutting your hair for becoming tahor, which means now the Gemara is concluding looking at the other way and saying that a nazir who takes an energy root in the Beit HaKvarot does not cut his hair. So therefore, this is the kal v'chomer to mitzorah. Right? What's the kal v'chomer to mitzorah? If a person is a nazir in the Beit HaKvarot, when's the next time he's going to cut his hair? The next time he's going to cut his hair is when he finishes his nazirut. Therefore, the hair he is growing now is relevant to his nazirut. So that hair is relevant to the nazirut, and nevertheless, they don't count towards the minyan nazirut. Now, in the mitzorah, when he gets his hair cut next, when's his hair getting cut next? When he comes to Hor from being a nazirut. Is that hair relevant? Tahor from his Torah. Sorry, I misspoke, thank you. Tahor from his Torah. Right? So is that hair relevant to Nazirut? Not at all. The hair he's growing right now is not relevant to Nazirut at all. It's only relevant to his Torah. And so certainly it should not count towards Ole Min HaMinyan. That's the kal v'chomer of the Gemara now. Alright, so the original kal v'chomer was using Tiglachas Tumah, and now we're losing Tiglachas Tara. Both of them are working almost the same way, which is that in one instance, in both instances by the Nazir Tamei, right, his hair cuttings are relevant to Nazirut. Either to Nazir Tumah or Nazir Tara, but his hair cuttings are all relevant to the category of Nazirut. If they're relevant to the category of Nazirut, and we say still they don't count towards the days of Nazirut, the Mitzorah, when he comes to Hor, all of his hair cutting is only relevant to the Tarat at Tarat, and nothing to do with the Nazirut, then certainly they should not count towards his Nazirut, because his next hair cutting has no relevance to the Nazirut. That's the Gemara's position right now. Hafinam Mustavra, the Gemara says that's logical, that's Sayyid Matara. Disa Kadatka Tiglacha Tuma. If you're talking about Tiglacha Tuma, you make Halato, Milo Bai Tiglachas. And where it says, well, if you're talking about Tiglachas Tumah, the Nitzora also has a requirement when he's Tamei to cut his hair. So where it says, well, Tiglachas Nizirut Ketani. Now, we're not talking about Tiglachas Tumah as in the sense of, when Tumah is still present upon them, but we're talking about the Tiglachas of the Nazir, the Nizirut, so Tumah, not, and there the Mitzorah has no relevance, meaning that both the Mitzorah and the Nazir have a Tiglachas Tum'ah, meaning that they would both, if you think that it's talking about that, comparison is talking about a case of Tiglachas Tum'ah, then both the Nazir, when he's Tamei, requires a haircut, and the Mitzorah, when he is still Tamei, he does his haircut while he's still Yemei Chaluto, while he's still in his 7 days, before he comes to Hor. So they both have a Tiglachas Tum'ah. So why is it not a comparable case? Why are they not equal? Why are you saying there's a kosher case here? So the Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding us. That we're talking about Tiglachas Nizirut. Right? That within the context of Nizirut, the Mitzorah has no relevance. And there, even though the Mitzorah is going to get Tiglachas, that Tiglachas all refers to his right status as a Mitzorah. While he's still Tamei, while he's still Chalut as a Mitzorah, never when he becomes Tahor already. And therefore, all of his haircuts are not relevant to the Nizirut aspect of his counting. Alright, so that's the end of that little piece of Gemara. Tashma, we'll have another proof to this question by Rav Ashi. V'tamei rosh nizhor, nizro. So it says that is, right? That is, when it becomes tamei, right, then it will be tamei rosh nizro. V'tahor shinitma akatuv midaber. Must be that this is talking about a case of a tahor, a nazir tahor, who became tamei. Right, that's the pasuk that starts out, excuse me, in Perek Vav, pasuk tet. Right, by the Zir, it says, V'chi amutz meitalav v'peta pidom, right, there's a meitam, v'viti mei rosh nizro. And his head becomes tamei. Bigilach rosho biyom tarato. Then he will shave his head biyom tarato biyom ashvii yigelchenu. On the same day he will cut it. So the Gemara says that's why meditosh nima katubin taber shuton habarat se'ar vevat ziporim. He requires a shaved head and the bringing of the birds. Those aren't the only things he requires. He requires a chatas and ola that are birds and also a asham nazir. But they're just the basic process of tara. Shein taun. This comes to exclude a Nazir who took his Neder Nisirut while he was still in the Beit HaKvarot. He does not require Karban Tumah, which we already know from our Mishnah, but he also does not require a Giluach. He does not require a haircut. Palot Varim Kalvachomer, it was not for the Pasuk, it's in the Kalvachomer. Umator Shinit Matona Vatsayar Vavasiparim, someone who was Tahor, started as a Zeres and became Tamei, he has to shave his head and bring the carbon oath. Misha Tamei Mitchilain, who didn't shave Tona Vatsayar Vavasiparim, someone who started from Tuma, certainly they should have to bring a carbon Tuma, and they had cut their head Tamalomar, Vitamei Rosh Nizro. Tamei Rosh Nizro means Right, so it sounds like they had a Rosh Nizro to be mitameh. Right, so that's it. V'timei Rosh Nizro, v'mishay atahor, v'nitma akatuv mitaber. She'etahon avar tziyar v'vat tziporim, l'ftor t'nazir v'kever, shma minah. So this will answer Rav Asher's question. Here we have a specific limud that says that the only person who not only brings a karban tumah, but also shaves his head, someone who was once tahor, and then became tameh, because that's v'timei Rosh Nizro. He had a head of Nazirut, and then it became Tamei. Someone who never was Rosh Nizro, then he can't become Tamei, and therefore he will not require Vigilach Hosho Biyom Tarato. That's the end of that puzzle. They will not have that requirement of Giguach, and he will not have the requirement of Havat Karbanotov. So that's the conclusion of Rav Asher's question. Alright, Matana, now the Gemara goes back to a brisa or something that we brought all the way along that was one of the proofs that we were trying to use to determine, right, what's the status of the chalus hanedar nazirut and other questions that we had along the way. That is mad the term about ein ben tamei shenazar lenazir lenazir tahor shenitma. There is no difference between a tamei that became that took nazirut to a nazir tahor that became tamei. That was a tamei nazar shrish lo minaminyan. Right, that a tamei who took a nazirut in the seventh day when he becomes tahor, that seventh day starts the new nazirut. Why? Because he doesn't have to bring karbanot. Whereas nazir tahor shnitma, nazir tahor became tamei, ain't shrish lo minaminyan. The seventh day doesn't count towards his nazirut because he still has to bring karbanot on his eighth day. Since he's bringing karbanot on his eighth day, he can't start the counting of his new nazirut until he completes the bringing of his karbanot on the eighth day. Amar Rav Chisda, who's the author of this Mishnah? It's Rabbi who's the author of this Mishnah. Why? Amar Rabbi, ein nazirut tahara kala ela ad shmini. That when you start the new nazirut tahara, it doesn't start until the eighth day, which is basically what we're saying over here in this Tosefta. Detema Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, if you think it's Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, Amar Nizirut Rabbi Shvi Yehuda Chayla. Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that what? The new Nizirut, you start counting from the seventh day. So now you say, my Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who are they talking about? Who's this Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda that we brought in here? So we have a Bryce of the Tanya. Vikideshitrusho. Alright, so it says that he will be mikadesh et rosho vayom hahu. Alright, so I read the psukim to you, so you just have you have the psukim here, but it's so we started with the first pasuk, which is v'chiyamut. I'll show you what the issues are in the psukim, and then we'll discuss it. We'll read it in the Gemara. All right. So if you have the psukim, it says v'chiyamut meitalav peta pitom. All of a sudden he became tamei. V'timei rosh nizro. Right. That will ruin his head. He has to take off his head. V'gilako sho biyom tahrato. When does he shave his head? V'yom hashvi'i galchenu. On the seventh day he will cut his hair. So we have one day that's been defined here, which is the seventh day. On the seventh day, and he cuts his hair. Number two, Ubi Yom Hashmini, on the eighth day, Yavish Eitorim, Ushnei Biona, El HaKohen El Petach Bo Moed. That's clear on the eighth day that he brings his karbanot. Asa HaKohen Achad HaKatah L'Kadola, right? V'chiper Alav HaShemer HaKatah Al HaNovish. Right, so we stopped there. We have two clearly defined points. One is that on the seventh day he must cut his hair. On the eighth day he must bring his karbanot. Now we have a pronoun that is used here, right? Without the knowing which one is the antecedent to this pronoun, it says v'ki pronoun v'kidash et rosho. Says he will then be mikadesh his head bayom hahu on that day. Which day? Right. We already had Bayom HaShvi'i. On the seventh day, he has to cut his hair. And then on Bayom HaShvi'i, he brings the karbanot. Which day is the Bayom Ahu on that day? Right? So he says, Bikidisha Drosho, that depends again. Right? It's like a stop, it's an asnachta, and it says, Bikidisha Drosho Bayom Ahu. You will, Bikidash means that he'll make his hair holy, and he'll start his new Zirut Bayom Ahu on that day. But we had two Yom Ahus. We had Yom HaShvi'i, and we had Yom HaShvi'i. Which one does it reference? And that is the Machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to see that inside now. Which one is this Yom Ahu referencing? Is it really going back and referencing the Yom HaShvi'i, or is it referencing the Yom HaShmini? So what would you say to me, Pasuk Pshat, is that it's Yom HaShmini. Why it's not in the Pasuk of Yom HaShmini? It should be the continuation, right?
It's a progression.
Right. So then it should say by Yom Ahu. So that would be the natural progression. That's what Rabbi is going to say. But we'll see why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's not the case. All right? Titania, Bikidash et Rosho, Bayom Hahu, Bayom Havat Karbonotav, Dibri Rabbi. So you read the Pasuk Kipshuto, and we're talking about Yom HaShvi'i, we had Yom HaShvi'i, then we switched to Yom HaShmini. Once we switch to Yom HaShmini, if you say Bayom Ahu, that's referencing the Yom HaShmini. Obviously, Yehuda Mer Bayom Tigilachto. No, that references the Yom HaShvi'i. Why is that? Why would you say that it's that way? I will. Does the Gemara give it away now, or does it later? All right. Why? Because the Bayom Ahu is unnecessary. All right. I'll give it away to you now. Right? Because the Yom Ahu is unnecessary. If you're in the context of the pasuk of a Yom HaShmini, why do you have to say Bayom Ahu? Also, it said is Bikidash et Rosho. The fact that he added Bayom Ahu sounds like it's trying to reference something other than a Yom HaShmini. That's what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says. The fact that you added in the Bayom Ahu, all you could have said is the connection to the show, and you would have been done. Everybody would have known it was the Yom HaShmini. In fact, now Bayom Ahu must be that's referencing the original Yom, which was Yom HaShvi'i. So that's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda. Raditznan. Right, and that which we have a Mishnah in Priestess that says, Nazir Shinit Matumot Harbei. Lazir that became Tamei numerous times, Eino Mevi Ela Karban Echad, only brings one Karban on these numerous Tum'ot that he encounters. Matana, who's the author of that Mishnah in Kritut, and Rav Kristi, Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Yehuda. So, the Tosefta that we brought on Yudzayim Amadbet, right, the Tosefta that we brought of Ein Bein, right, that Tosefta, right, is, who's the author of that Tosefta? That is Rabbi, right? That is Rabbi, that price of that Tosefta is Rabbi. And who's the author of the Mishnah in Christus? That is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know? Now, how do we know that the Ein Bein is Rabbi? Because what does the Ein Bein say? There's no difference between a Nazir that took his Nazir in the Shein HaKvarot to a Nazir Tahor that became Tamei, except at which day they start counting. Which day does the Nazir Tahor that became Tamei, what day does he start counting? On the eighth day. That is Rabbi. That's why he's the author. How do we know that Rabbi Yossi Rehud is the author of the Mishnah and Krisus? How do we know that? So Amar says, why? Damar Nizirut Tara must be Rabbi Yossi Rehud. Damar Nizirut Tara Mishmi Rechayla. It comes on the seventh day. Why? Umishkachasla. What's the case? Kigon Shinitma Bishvi. He became Tamei on the Shvi. Because of a Nitma Bishvi. He keeps becoming Tamei on the seventh day of his count, Latara. Right, so it's an important principle according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, you actually have two stages in your process of becoming Tahor. The Tamei, on the seventh day, what does he do? He on the seventh day, he goes to the mikvah, he cuts his hair, right, he shaves his hair, and he goes to the mikvah, and he's Tahor, and he begins his count for the next Nzirut on that seventh day. Yet, he does not bring his Karbanot for Tuma until the eighth day. He'll already be on his second day of Nzirut, when of Tara, by the time he brings his Karbanot for his Karban Tuma. So you are now faced with the possibilities. According to Rabbi, his new Nzirut starts only after he has brought his Karbanot. Right, so according to Rabbi, the only possibility is that you become a Nazir after you've totally completed the process of becoming of cleaning up from being a Nazir Tameh. So according to Rabbi, you have you cut your hair on the seventh day, you bring your Karbanot on the eighth day. After you bring your Karbanot, your new Nazirut starts. So there's no hour overlap between the two of them. The only time you begin your count is once the Karbanot are done. So according to Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, you actually have an overlap between the start of the new Nazirut and the end of the Nazirut Tuma, which is from the seventh day you already begin counting the new Nazir of Tahara, yet you still chayav to bring your Karbanot for Tuma the next day, eighth day, which is your second day of your Nazir Tahara. So now you have this strange possibility where you could become Tameh in your new Nazirut without actually reaching the day of Karbanot in your from the Tuma. And that's what Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, that's the unusual case here. What happens? He was on his seventh day, he had his hair, he was tahor now, and then he gets all of a sudden, he bumps into, he becomes tameh again. Now he becomes tameh again. Once he becomes tameh again, he's got to count an additional 7 days to become tahor. Does he have to bring another set of karbanot? As Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda says, you don't have to bring another set of karbanot until you've come onto a point where you could have brought the karbanot. Could you have brought your Karbanot on the seventh day? The answer is no. The Karbanot are only right to be brought on the eighth day. So since you never reached a point where you could have brought the Karbanot, we don't say you are chayav in Karbanot and have to bring a second set of Karbanot. So now you can have one Karban Tuma that will be sufficient for numerous times that you became Tameh while you were a Nazir. Because every time he hits the seventh day, he starts his new Nazirut, then he becomes Tameh again. So each time he comes to Tameh again on the seventh day, he will require another 7 days of Tahara, plus a Tiklachat, the new haircutting. Yet, at the end, when he finally gets to an eighth day, where he actually reaches an eighth day, he'll bring one Karban for all those times that he became Tameh, that he uprooted his different Nidre Nizirut.
According to Rebbe, let's say he becomes Tameh on the eighth day, but before he brought his Karbanos.
Oh, that's a good question. That we'll have to deal with in a second. Excellent question. Right, so what does it mean? I'll just point you out, if you look at the statement of it says, came into the letter Shahru Uya Lahabi Karban. Right, so it may not have to do with the Karbanot themselves, but just a moment where you are Ra'ui to bring a Karban. Once you reach that point, then you're ready to become Chayiv in a second set of Karbanot. Okay, that will be the position of Rabbi, giving it away to you, but it will turn out to be a four-way machlokas about exactly when is the trigger point for your new Nizirut. So you are raising a good point. And Rishonim asks, how do we know that Rabbi holds like what I just said at its beginning of the day? And the Gemara is going to say, because of the other opinions, it kind of forces you into a position where Rabbi really holds that way. And we'll see that from the additional opinions coming up. Right. Because if you think it's Rabbi who's the author of the Mishnah in Kritut, eat the Nitma Bishvi, because of the Nitma Bishvi, if he became Tameh on the seventh day. And then he became Tameh again on the seventh day, Kulhu Tuma Arichtihi. That's one big Tuma, because he never reached the point where he started his new Nizirut. According to Rabbi, you don't start your Nizirut until the eighth day. So he becomes Tameh on the seventh day, it's as if he never ended his first, right, ever ended his first problem of Tuma. The Nitma Bishmini, and he becomes Tameh on the Shmini, this is what you're asking, right? And becomes Tameh again. Already reached a point where he could have brought the Karbanot. Not that he brought them, but he could have brought the Karbanot. So once he could have brought the Karbanot, then what? Then already it's a new Nizirut. If it's a new Nizirut, he's got to bring new Karbanay Tuma. That means if he came Tameh every time on the eighth day, he'll have to bring a new set of Karban Tuma, or Karbanot Tuma, every time he became Tameh again. So that's what we know. The Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda must be the author there. My time at the Rabbi. What's the position of Rabbi? Damar Krav. It's Hiper Alav Mir Asher Chata Ala Nefesh. It says in the pasuk. We read the pasuk together. It says Basa Koyin Echad Chatat VeEchad Ola. We do the Karbanot of Ola Chatat and Ola. V'Hiper Alav Mir Asher Chata. Then he'll be finished Ala Nefesh. V'Kidash Et Rosho. And then you will be Mikadesh His Rosh. So what does it sound like? First you bring the Karbanot, and then the Kidash and Rosho, then his head becomes Kadosh, then you start the new Nizirut. So according to Rabbi, the Pesukim read pretty simply, and this is what we said, that the Pesukim Shad, the Pesuk is, you bring your Karbanot, then you can actually Rosh Ho, but Yom Ho, on that day, you become Kadosh, meaning that your new Nazirut, the Tara, starts after you've brought your Karbanot. Not literally brought, as Shaul pointed out, but that you had the opportunity to bring your Karbanot. So now, Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, Imkein Lema, Kra, Mikidashet Rosh Ho. That's simple. If you wanted to say that it was the eighth day and we're talking about something that's in order, you say, bring your Karbanot, Mikidashet Rosh Ho. Why do you have to add the term, Bayom Ha? Who? Bayom Ha? Vamali? Imenali and Alishmini, Tanali and Shvi. Since it's unnecessary to write Bayom Ha with regards to the Shmini, because the context of the Pasuk is already Yom HaShmini, then Bayom Ha must be referencing the Yom HaShvi from the Tiklachat. For Rabbi Nami Akti Bayom Ha. So what's Rabbi going to do with this Bayom Ha? Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda has a good point. The Bayom Ha is really extraneous, right? It's not necessary. So Rabbi says, "Amakal Rabbi, how will Hafki Hu the Adol? Amakal Hafki Pishloi Di Karbanotav. By Yom Ha'u comes to teach you that the Kiddushin Rosh Ho is Talui by Yom Ha'u, not on the Karbanot that preceded it. Right? It's not the actual bringing of the Karbanot that is Talui, but by Yom on the day. So that comes to teach you that the day itself is what triggers the new Nazirut, and not the bringing of the Karbanot themselves that triggers the new Nazirut. So that's why the experience by Yom Ha'u is used by Rabbi to teach you that starts on the eighth day, whereas Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda believes it starts on the seventh day.
All right. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda holds that Rabbi Karbanos isn't relevant.
Right, he says it is relevant in terms of your requirement to bring an additional Karban.
Is it not given starting a new Nazir?
No. That's his point. His point is that you start on the seventh day. After you've cut your hair on the seventh day, you begin your new Nazir route, even though you will not bring your Karbanot. Right, so they're all the Minyan, but yet you'll still only bring, you bring your Karbanot on your second day of your Nazir route, B'tahara, which is it's an unusual thing. So because of that separation, you're able to come up with this convoluted case where he can actually have numerous Nizirut that he ruins with Tuma and yet only bring one Karban for all of them, because he could be at a point, he could be starting as Nizirut, never reach the point of Karban and become Tamei over and over again, right? How recently have you covered that? Rav Chista, my duch ke lukmek Rav Yosef Bar Yehuda. Why is Rav Chista so pressed to set up our mission like Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda? Why doesn't he set it up like Rabbi? Meaning there's a possibility that you could set it up like Rabbi, and how is that? This is basically, I think, a little bit of your question. Right, the chazia of the leal shmini. Alright, the word chazia here does not belong. I think both Tosfos and the Rosh take the word chazia out and the yourselves. But it doesn't mean, if you do say chazia, it just means that it should have started. It's not that it's, the word doesn't really make sense here. So it's nitma v'leil shmini. He came tamei on the night of the eighth. Verabihi. Right, so what you could have said is, so Rabbi requires you to get to the eighth day. When does the eighth day start? The eighth day starts on the night of the eighth. On the night of the eighth, can you bring your Karbanot yet? No, the Karbanot can only be brought during the day. So I can come up with a case where Rabbi will have your new Nazirut begin, and yet you will not be chayav to bring your Karbanot yet. What's that? That's the night of the eighth. Because, right, the night of the eighth, right, was Bayom Ha'u. He says the day is what triggers. So the day is what triggers. Let's start on the night of the eighth. And if that's the case, when do the Karbanot can only be brought on the day of the eighth? So if he comes to them Tamei on the night of the eighth, he will already be started his new Nazirut, Vatara. He started his new Nazirut, Vatara, and getting Tamei can ruin it. Yet, he never reached a point where he could have brought his Karbanot. Since he never reached a point where he could have brought his Karbanot, then what? Then he's only chayav one Karban for all those Nazirut that he, right, the Nazirut that he wrecks by becoming Tamei on the night of the eighth. Right? That Lila, wait, there is a general principle in Kochim that Lila goes Akhara Yom. It happens to be with Achilas Kochim and Bailina, but here we're talking about the Lila the Yom is by Yom. His day for starting his Minzirut, that we're talking about a day issue, not a Karbanot issue. Alright, now we're going to get to something interesting. I think your question is relevant, because when the conclusion of the Gemara is going to show something, I think, that tags on a little bit to what you're saying. Not because of Kochim, but something else. Alright. So the fact, now, me delo looking like a Rabbi, the fact that he did not set it up like Rabbi must mean, the night is not a time where you can't bring Karbanot. Right, so that meaning that technically, the night of the 8th, he's already able to bring his karbanot. There's a technical problem. We don't bring karbanot in the mikdash at night. But he's already ra'ui to bring his karbanot at night. Right, so that's what you have to say. You have to say that Rabbi believes, or at least according to Rabbi Chisda, the fact that he did not set up our Mishnah in Krisus like Rabbi, he must believe that Rabbi holds there's no separation between the beginning of the 8th day, which is that night, and Havat Karbanota, which you said was the day of the 8th, right? He must believe that the night of the 8th also is the point where he could Ra'ui l'Havit Karbanota. He was already possible for him to bring his Karbanota. He's blocked from bringing those Karbanota because of the technicality that you can't bring Karbanota at night. But yet he's still Ra'ui. He was ready to bring his Karbanota at night. So why don't we say that? Which happens to Nachlok is whether Laila is in Chusr Zman or not. So Amar Rav Adibarava, Habahat Halyo. Says, no, you don't have to say that, right? We made a big assumption here. I said to you that what? You could separate between the yom and the karbanot. What was the possibility? We tried to say like this, that on the night of the 8th, right, you could start your new nezirut, and yet, you could only bring your karbanot starting in the morning of the 8th. Yet, if you read the psukim, clearly according to Rabbi, how did psukim read? It says, first with chiber, right? You bring your karbanot, and then kidash it will show, and then your head, you'll become a new nazir. So according to Rabbi, it's clear that the two are connected. The only time you can start counting, right, your new nazirut is if you're at a point that's ro'oi to bring karbanot. Meaning that you can't say that, oh, it's a new day, therefore you can start your nazirut. Oh, but you can't bring your karbanot till the morning. Rabbi connected the two. Rabbi says that the two are, right, tied together. You can't have one without the other. When you can bring your karbanot, that's when you become a new nazir. Even though you don't physically bring your karbanot, but you have to roll to bring your karbanot. If you do that automatically, you can never have this case by Rabbi. Why? Because whenever you're going to start your nazirut, you're already rolling to bring your new karbanot. You're already rolling to bring new karbanot. That will force you to bring an additional karban every time you come tameh. So since Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda has this separation between the karbanot and the start of the new nazirut, Rabbi says they're intertwined. The fact that you can bring your karbanot is what triggers your ability to start the new nazirut.
It says something is limited in Bayam HaHadun.
Right.
As Bayam HaHadun, why does it have to be on the roof? To show you that even when the day dawns, even when you haven't brought your karbanot yet, so it's not trying to say that at night.
You could say it at night, but it would mean that both things are triggered at night. It means that if you say that he starts from zero at night, it means that he also could have brought his karbanot at night.
Right.
It means that the two are tied together.
It's tying together to actually be able to bring the karbanot.
Right. Excellent. So that's it. So either amount of shock, you're going to end up with the problem. Because no matter when you start your nezirut, you're automatically going to have the problem that he could already brought his karbanot. That's what the Gemara says here. Yeah, Mar Leila Mechusar Zman. If you say that at night you couldn't bring karbanot, when can he start bringing his karbanot? In the morning. That means that the nezirut also won't start till the morning. Right, you don't have to physically bring the karbanot, but you have to be at a point where you could have brought them. That's in the morning. So they're triggered at the same time that he could have brought his karbanot, that's when the new nezirut starts. So that happens, and he becomes tameh then he would have to he ruined his nezirut, but he also have to bring a new set of karbanot, because he was already reached the point where he could have brought his karbanot. Here, Mar Leila, in a Mechusar Zman, if you say you could have brought karbanot tonight, but it's a technicality that we don't bring karbanot to the Mikdash at night, then Nezirut Ha'ara, Ha'alei Be'orta, then his nezirut also starts at night. But his nezirut starts at night, he comes to tameh, he already reached the point where he could have brought karbanot. If he reached the point where he could have brought karbanot, then if he's okay, then Nezirut, then Nezirut Ha'ara gets ruined, he will also have to bring another set of karbanot. Alright, so that's the two are connected together. I'll just point out, as an important principle that is established over here, which is that this idea that you could have the possibility that you could only bring karbanot during the day, right? Meaning that night could not be Mechusar Zman. That you could actually be chayav to bring your karbanot at night, and yet you could only bring them during the day. It's a strange thing. You're only going to bring your karbanot at night, yet you could not bring them until the day. So in the
so you're saying that there is this feeling between the day and the zeros and the day of a general day of about karbanot. In other words, as far as the zeros is concerned, so whatever problem was, it's finished by the time the night of the 8th day starts. There's a technical issue of karbanot, and it's got nothing to do with the zeros, because you can't bring karbanot at night.
That's the way we've explained it till now, but the Rosh formulates it in a much stronger way, which actually has nafkamina in the halacha. So I'll read it to you. I'll read to the Rosh so we don't have to search for it. He says, listen to this. The chol dvar shizman biyom. Anything that its time period is really during the day, biyom matchilas halayla, right? On that day, it begins at night. Yishlo din halayla. Mitchilas halayla, from the beginning of the night, yishlo din hayom. It has the category of the day. Even though you can't bring karbanot at night. So as opposed to what Shaul was suggesting, which is the easiest way to understand it, we do that right. Exactly. God bless you. There are two different dinim here. Mitzad and Zirut. Mitzad, your ability to bring karbanot, that started at night. All right, there's a technical problem. Karbanot, you want to deal with karbanot, you got to deal during the day. The Rosh says no. That anytime you have a mitzvah during the day, the mitzvah to bring your karbanot during the day, it affects the ofi, the character of the night before. The fact that you can bring karbanot during the day, that changes the night before to bring a time that you can bring karbanot. What's that? Why is that important? So for instance, this is a big question, this is a question that was asked of Moshe, right? What happens on Shiva Sabbath Tammuz? When do the 3 weeks start? When does Shiva Sabbath Tammuz start? Shiva Sabbath Tammuz is a day fast. It's not a 24-hour day fast. It starts in the morning. The fast day begins in the morning. The night before Shiva Sabbath Tammuz. What is that? Is that nothing? Or is that Shiva Sabbath Tammuz? Right, which one is it? So according to what the Rosh is saying here, any mitzvah that takes place during the day, right? So here you have Shiva Sabbath Tammuz day, affects the character of the entire day. Mimitzchilas halayla, it's already Shiva Sabbath Tammuz. That means that the character of the day from nighttime already is Shiva Sabbath Tammuz. Oh, you don't fast until the day? That is the mitzvah. That's the mitzvah to fast during the day, but it doesn't change. I mean, that says to me that it colors the nighttime or the night before. So that's the way it was, happens to be in my focus. Rav Moshe there in the tshuva discourages people. The question was actually, it was a strange question. It was a Motzei Shabbos, where Shiva Sabbath Tammuz was on Sunday, and they wanted to have a wedding on that Motzei Shabbos before Shiva Sabbath Tammuz, so they could get it in before the 3 weeks. So Rav Moshe discouraged it, especially in a case where it was a nidche. Right, when it's a nidche, already Shiva Sabbath Tammuz was already on Shabbos, and then he really discouraged it. But he does discourage it, but he says, B'shas v'chak, they could have the wedding on that night. The Rav, or Soloveitchik, I suppose that was very against it because of this issue, that he felt that even though the fast of Tammuz begins during the day, he says, nevertheless, the day is the day of Shiva Sabbath Tammuz. And this is, the Rosh himself is formulating that. It's a beautiful statement here in the Rosh. Right, that the chol davar shizman beyom, anything that has its time during the day, mitzchilat ha'ayva yishko din ha'yom, from the beginning of night has the din of that day, and that day becomes has the character of the fast day. And that's very important, again, with all these things. Shiva Sabbath Tammuz in particular, because of the 3 weeks and the Minhag Avelut that we have, with any fast day. When you talk about Asarah B'Tevet, you talk about any fast day, fast day only starts in the day, what's the status of the night before? Does it have a character of the day next day? Does it not have the character of the next day? All right, now we...
So the whole point here was that the Mishnah was a Chiddush. The Mishnah was a Chiddush saying, you can start your new Nazirus, but still
not reach a point where it's Ra'oi to bring
two Karbanos.
Right.
And that wouldn't fit with
Rabbi. Because Rabbi says the two are correlated, and you can't separate the two issues. The starting Nazirus is correlated with the ability to bring Karbanot. So you can't separate the two issues. There's no way you could come to Tamei without triggering a new Karban. Yosef Yehuda has the issues that are separated, because he has you start your Nazirus on the seventh day and bring your Karbanos on the eighth day. By the fact that you can separate them, means that you could have this unusual case, where you can become Tamei over and over again, yet only bring one Karban for those multiple Nizirot that were ruined by Tumah. Right now, the Gemara says Gufa. Now, Gufa is a problem here, because Gufa is a term that's used all over Shas when the Gemara before brought down a Braisa or a Mishnah, another Mishnah from somewhere else, to use in a sequence of questions. The Gemara brought in a proof from somewhere else, and the Gemara goes back and says, but let's go back and look at that Braisa. Let's go look at it and investigate that Braisa. Right now, the Gemara here is going to use the term Gufa where the Gemara was talking before. It was not a Braisa, it was not a proof. It was the Gemara made an assumption later on, then it goes Gufa. So Gufa doesn't belong here because that's not a reference. So Tosos over here points out, right, that Gufa is wrong. He says it's not the Kula Shas that we don't use this type of Gufa. The Rosh, but the Kedarka B'Kodesh, and we pointed this out a number of times. I was trying to put together a sheet yesterday, except the because some of the electronic forms don't have the Perusha Rosh in the Nazir, and in Nedarim don't have it in the systems to take them out. But I'd like to point out here, if you listen to the Rosh, he says, Hak Gufa, lo havi kishar gufa shibitalmud. This gufa here is used like nowhere else in Shas, and Tosus explicitly says it. He says that gufa is only used, right, when you have a Shas Hevi Memra or Braiso. They brought a Braiso or a Memra of an Amora, a Tchila, Umaisi Otel Gav Grora. They brought it down as a proof in another section of the Gemara, and now they want to Chazar, and they want to go back and now investigate that which was said. But over here, they don't, over here, the Gemara never brought a Braiso, and it didn't even bring a Memra of an Amora. It's something that the Gemara itself was working through, and they're going to bring a line out of what the Gemara was trying to figure out, like the Lashona Gemara that it was trying to figure through. Doesn't make sense. So what does the Rosh say about this? Well, it doesn't make sense. Elish Lashon Nazir Mishuneh. Lashon of Nazir is strange. Right? This is a term we've seen in the Rosh. The Rosh said this in the Nedarim. In Chabalah from Beth, in the Nedarim, the Rosh said the same thing, that Lashon Nedarim Mishuneh. And Tosfos already in Nazir said the same thing on Yidbet Amud Aleph. The Lashon Nazir is Mishuneh. So you see that the Rishonim are picking up from the terminology that's used in the Gemara Nedarim and in Nazir, that as much as we feel it when we're learning it, that it's difficult, right? But they're saying it because you can see that there are certain terms that are standard throughout Shas, how they're used, and when they're used incorrectly or differently, they're suggesting that means that Lashon Nazir Mishuneh or Lashon Nedarim Mishuneh. Right, so this goof over here is used in a different way than we see throughout Shas. Right, Nitma B'Shvi'i, V'Chazar B'Nitma B'Shvi'i, Eino Mevi Elo Karban Echad. Right, that was what the Gemara says, that if you become Tamei on the Shvi'i, and then you came again, Matamei on the Shvi'i, you only bring one Korban. Right, Nitma B'Shmini, V'Chazar B'Nitma B'Shmini, if you came Tamei on the 8th day, and then became Tamei on the 8th day again, Mevi Karban Echo Echad B'Echad. Right, then you become Tamei on each one of these items. Matfil Omone Miyad. When does he start? He starts counting immediately. What is immediately? That we don't know. Number two is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And that is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have two problems here. One is, what is Matfil Omone Miyad? That's number one. What is Miyad? After what? Miyad after what? Right, so that will have to do with how you read the rest of this Gemara. Now, Rabbi Elazar is somebody we bumped into in this parak before, and that is V'hayamim ayim rishonim yiplu. And the first Mishnah, on Daf Tet Zayin, right? He says when you start the new Nizirut, you can only become Tamei when Hayamim Arishonim Yapilu, right? Yipolu. That when the first days, Yamim is plural, means 2 days must fall away. Right, so now we've counted this, Rabbi Elazar's opinion, that you must have 2 days of Tara before you can knock off a Nazir, become Tamei, and ruin your Nazirus Dadara. So now what do we have here? We have a case here that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Elazar that says what? Matkulu Moni Miyad. Begin counting the new Nazirut right away. Forgetting about when right away is. Starts right away, and the example that the Gemara brought so far is that what? Either on the Shmini or Shvi'i becomes Tamei over and over again. In each of these cases, there is no way he has 2 days of Nizirut. If he doesn't have 2 days of Nizirut, how could Rabbi Elazar be the author of this statement? So there are 2 ways to solve that problem, right?
It's producing every year, then.
What?
You start again doing the seventh day.
Right, so what's one possibility is that he holds. Alright, we're going to see. There are 2 ways to solve the problem. So Scholz. Just seeing them. So look in the Tosfos. Look in the Tosfos. Matkul Menomi Yad Nivir Rabbi Elazar. L'chora, Avamash Mashma, the simple way to read this, right, Motkul Menomi Yad, is the Matkul Minyan is Yot Tarash Lo B'Shmini. But it goes on the 8th day. That sounds like, who do we know? Rabbi. That guy sounds like Rabbi in the beginning of the day. Ella, Yot Shara Lo Martin. Because he can't say this. V'ilo Chayla Lein Yot Tarash Lo Lo B'Shmini. Im Kein Ki Nitma B'Shmini Lo Sotar Lo Yom Echad. Then he becomes Tamei again and again on the 8th day, he's only ruining 1 day. Lo mitchayiv karban tuma the Rabbi Elazar. Right, according to Rabbi Elazar, he will not be chayiv a karban. Right, because it's not, we did our mission earlier on, Rabbi Elazar, lo bo bayom elamat kumon amiyad bishvi. That's chayiv nizitar, mechiyava betavo, mechinit ma bishvini sotar bezimim, mechayiv shaper bekarban and tuma the Rabbi Elazar. So the Tosu says, like, but Shaul just suggested, that he's matul like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Because the only way to get 2 days worth of Tumah, right, is to have, I mean, my Shimi Polo is if you start from the seventh day. Alright, now, the other Rishonim over here changed the Girsa. That's the other easy way to deal with it and say, right? Rabbi. Right, that it's not Rabbi Elazar who's the author of this statement, but rather the author of this statement is Rabbi. Right, because that makes it much easier. This is the position of Rabbi. Right, and why would you go ahead and try to stick in Rabbi Elazar into Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda when that's not the context? From the context of where we're quoting him, does not sound like Matkul Mona Miyad is referencing the seventh day, but rather, as Tosa says, the Pashut Pshat is that he's starting on the eighth day. On the eighth day, he begins right away. All right. So you have those two possibilities.
According to the Rishon, why would it say Miyad?
Because he doesn't require the karbanot. That's right, exactly what Rabbi's whole position is, that you start at the beginning of the eighth day and not until after you bring your karbanot. As we're going to see, there are going to be two opinions that say you have to wait for your karbanot. So if he's saying miyad, it's the exclusion of those that believe you need to wait for the karbanot to be brought. Okay, that's exactly why Rabbi would say miyad. All right. So now back in the Gemara, v'chachamim amrim karban echad akol ashevi chatato. The Chachamim say, no, you bring one karban until you bring your chatat. Hevi chatato b'nitzma, if you already brought his chatat and became tamei, maybe chatato b'nitzma, maybe karban akol echad be'echad. So only after you brought your karban chatat are you actually entered into a new realm of nezirut. And once you enter a new realm of nezirut, then you'd be chayiv another karban. Hevi chatato b'le'yashamo moneh. If he brought his chatat, but yet did not bring his asham yet, he continues what? He counts. Just like his chatat gets rid of it, so does his asham stop him. Right now, I'm going to read you the pesukim because the Gemara is going to darshan the pesukim, but I'll just show you the order of the pesukim. It says, "V'yom hashmini on the eighth day, that's the pasuk Yud Yavish Shtei Torim Ushnei Bnei Yona Elakoyin Opetach Olmoi." He has to bring two. What are they for? V'asakoyin Echad Lechatat Echad LiOlah. He's going to bring a chatat and an olah. V'ki Berolam Yasher Chatal and Avish V'Kidash Roshol V'Yom Ahu. So that's where he has the Kidash Roshol is now after the chatat and the olah. So now, if it's after the chatat and the olah, it sounds like pashut pshat is that you cut your hair, or you start your new nezirut after you brought your karbanot, chatat, and olah. So that sounds like the Rabbanan, right? The Rabbanan say that chatat is the trigger point for starting the nezirut, because that comes before kiddush miyu. After that, it says, Vezir l'ashem t'bein nezirot be'evi, kevis men shnatol yasham. The sham was only after he's already started kiddush and rosho. In the order of the psukim, the Hashem comes afterwards. So it sounds, Pashut Pshat sounds like the Chachamim. Now what? That you first bring your karban and chatat and olah, then you start your new nezirut, and then you bring your Hashem. Right? So that would be the Chachamim. Why does Rabbi not hold like the Chachamim? Rabbi doesn't hold like the Chachamim because of the Vayom Ahu. The extraneous Vayom Ahu teaches me what? Don't wait till after the chatat and olah, but even before the chatat and olah. The question now is, why does Rabbi Yishmael, but also Rabbi Yochanan Baruch, believe you have to wait till after the Asham. Alright, maybe, or from Vezil Hashem Yimei Yisro to Hevi. We're going to see that he learns it from the first half of the Pasuk. It says, Vezil Hashem Yimei Yisro, Vehevi. Right? That he, the Pasuk correlates between the Heshir, right? That he starts his new Yisro, Vehevi, and bringing the Asham. Right? So there's a connection between those two. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to go through these Pasukim to show what the position of each of them. Alright, so now we see this. Bishlamo. Right, so now we're actually going to end up with four opinions. The Rosh summarizes the four opinions we'll see in the end. There are four machlokot b'davar. We'll go through them there, and then we'll summarize what are the four machlokot b'davar. Okay? If he cut it though, I'm sorry, where we have to Bishlamo the Rabbi Eleazar Markra v'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu. Why does it say v'kidash et rosho b'yom ahu? Afal pishlo yivi karbonotav. Even though he did not bring his karbanot. I mean, the way either Rabbi Elazar is learning that it's on Yom Zayin, like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi, that it's before, prior to the karbanot.
This is Rabbi.
But that the Bayom Ahu is relevant. The Bayom Ahu is relevant either because it brings you back to the seventh day, or Bayom Ahu is relevant because it brings you to the beginning of the eighth day. Either way, it's prior to the karbanot. That's what the actual Bayom Ahu is. Rabbanan Ahu Afopi. So what does the Rabbanan do with Bayom Ahu? So it's really not the Bayom, it's the Bayom Ahu. Afi Shalei Biyashama. So that's what the Rabbanan say, no, that the Bayom Ahu teaches you on that day, even though he's not yet brought his Karban Hashem. Rabbi Shmuel, how will Amali? But Rabbi Shmuel, what is that Bayom Ahu doing there? It's only recognition for him, because it says, Kidash Roshu Bayom Ahu, and he has the Hashem is after that. According to him, that should have been after the Hashem even.
If they use the Bayom Ahu, why don't they use it to say, you know, without bringing any of the Karbanos?
It sounds like first you have to do Yashkara, and then you have to do the Kiddush. So if you're going to do Bayomahu, you want to take the least Kiddush, which is to move it up, right, to before the Hashem. So Amar Lechahu, Apa Pishlo Yibi Ulato. Rabbi Yossi says, you know what, I have a carbon that we can leave out here. There are actually three carbonotes here. We forgot to mention that. There's a chatas, there's an olah, and an asham. The chamim require only that the chatat be complete. Rabbi Shmuel requires that the chatat and the asham be finished. But what he didn't mention is the olah. According to him, the olah does not need to be finished. So that means that you could bring, the Bayom who teaches you that what? That after you bring the chatat and asham, you start, even though you have not brought the olah yet. Rabbanan, Ola lo baye miuta, lo baye miuta. The Rabbanan said, what do you mean? An Ola doesn't require a specific miut in the Pasuk. Doran ba'almo. It's a gift. Right? An Ola is not a korban that's ever ma'akev. A korban Ola is something that you bring as a gift to Hashem, as a netava, or as something that's extraneous. It's never for a korban chatat. It's never asked to be kapara. And the Ola is a korban that's brought as a gift. So my time I owe the Rabbanan. So now what is the reasoning of the Rabbanan? The Tanya. It's pretty clear. The Pesukim can say it in order. It says, Vizir Lashem et Yemeni Zero. He'll start his new count, and then Ve'viyat Kemes Ben Ashnato L'Hashem. Afterwards he'll bring his Hashem. So it's in order. Why does it say it like this? Because we know that on the rest of the Torah, all the Hashemot, right, are Ma'akev. I mean, that you can't start, or you can't do the next, you're not Tahor, you're not Mechubar until you bring your Hashem. Yochov of Zem, Akbo, you would think here too, the Hashem would stop them from bringing his Nazirut. Tamil Omer, Vezir Baby. That's exactly what the Pasuk says. It says Vezir Lashem, and you may Israel. And then, maybe, and then Shanto, Hashem. That the Hashem is not Ma'akev, his ability to start his new count of Nazirut. So now, Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Broko, Omer, Vezir Baby. Vematai Hezir, Vizman Shevi. In the fact that the two are correlated, it says Vehezir, Vehevi. There's a Vav Mechaber there, and there's a Vav Chibur. That Vav Chibur says, when, that the puzzle, you don't read the puzzle of Yezir Lashem and Menizro, you begin your Nisirut, and then Vehevi, Kedesh, and Nisrat, Zoli Allah. But no, they're in a single puzzle. What does the puzzle say? Yezir Lashem and Menizro, when is that? Vehevi, Bishon, and Zoli Hashem. Once you bring your Hashem, that's when you bring Yezir Lashem. That's when you start this new Hezir Lahashem. Okay, because of the new Hezir Lashem. Because of this, so what do you have now? Now we have a four-way machlokas over here about how to understand when the new Nesirut begins. Right? Avra machlokot b'davar. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar believe, right, if you think Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's position, that you start from the seventh day. And a person, Nazir, becomes the May, after he takes his tzvachas, it goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, his new Nesirut begins that day. Right, next position is the position of Rabbi, who's either Rabbi is by himself or the Rabbi Elazar here is really Rabbi also, Muslimin of Yad. That is what starts from the eighth day, the morning of the eighth day. As soon as you could have brought your korbanot on the eighth day, then you are now a Nazir, right? Nazir starts the new Zeri Torah, even though you have not bring your korbanot. Then we have the Rabbanan. Rabbanan will believe that you have to get through your chatas, right? But not your Hashem or Allah, in order to start your Nazirut. And then we have Rabbi Shmuel, who requires you to get through your Chatas and your Hashem, but not your Allah, right, to get to the point of where you can begin your new Nazirut. In the end, I don't know if the answer will have to work on this, but I'll try to work on it tonight for tomorrow's talk, but the question in the end is, why do the Rabbanan now need Bayomahu, or Rabbi Shmuel need Bayomahu? In the end, they darsh in the fact that the Hashem is not Ma'akev from the fact that it says Vezir Lashem Vehevi, for the next Pasuk. Then they're not using the Bayomahu anymore. If they're not using the Bayomahu anymore, what do they use Bayomahu for? What does that teach you, right? Because they don't need any exclusion for the Olah. The Chatas must come before. An exclusion for the Hashem, they get from Mezir, maybe. So now what do they use the Bayomahu for? And the same would be true of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that nothing's Ma'akev, right? Actually, Rabbi Shmuel uses Bayomahu to exclude the Olah, but the Olah is not Ma'akev, right? So he still uses it. So according to the Rabbanan, we still have a problem. What do they do with the Bayomahu? So I have to work on that for tomorrow. Okay, we'll do it tomorrow.